Broadcasting live from the Central City Radio Studios, it's the Jacqueline Nicole Show with your host Jacqueline Nicole on King FM, a Central City radio station.
Hey everybody, thank you again for joining in with us for the Jacqueline Nicole Show. I am so excited that you guys have been tracking with me for the last several weeks, getting to hear all the different testimonies from all the speakers for the Save a Life Tour. And tonight we have some awesome guests. I'm super excited that you guys get to listen to Tommy and Michelle Hunter all the way from California. They are actually going to be the main speakers at the Save a Life Tour, which is going to be Friday, March 19th at Living Word Ahwatukee. How are you guys doing today?
We're so good.
Hey, Jacqueline. Great to see you. Thank you.
It's good seeing you guys. I know you guys live in California, but where did you move to? Because you used to live in Long Beach.
Yeah, so we're down in the San Diego area, Escondido, which is North County, San Diego. Moved here a little over a year ago.
Nice. Actually, my mom used to live in Escondido, California before she got married and had me.
Interesting.
I never got to be in that part of San Diego. So
before
you guys share your testimony and the things that we're going to talk about today, did you want to share a little bit about yourselves to our guests and then we can start chatting?
Sure.
Go for it.
Well, I'm Michelle and I'm married to this amazing guy right here. This is actually the second time that I've been married to him. First time wasn't so great. The second time has been
amazing.
Let's see what else. We have a worldwide marriage ministry. We have four beautiful children, two amazing grandchildren. And we just really love sharing our story of restoration and talking about all the amazing things that God has done in our lives and sharing or helping people to reach a level of freedom in their lives and overcome the things that they've gone through. Because, you know, it's not just us who have a story. All of us go through things and all of us have, you know, we come from difficult childhoods or, you know, a parent left or, you know, traumatic things have happened to us. And so we really like to take what God's given us and help other people with that.
Yeah. And so then, well, if you're Michelle, that makes me Tommy. So and I'm Tommy Hunter and I get to be married to this amazing lady. And in addition to all the fun stuff that we get to do, not only with marriages and speaking at different churches all over the world, I also have a men's ministry called Warrior 13 that is started with three guys in my home a year ago. And today we have a half a dozen sites all over the country with well over 100 men experiencing freedom and transformation. So it's turned into this organic growth of just amazing God stuff. It's really cool.
That is so awesome. I love how God will start with something small and plant a seed and how it's like a tumbleweed and it just keeps growing and growing. And that's so needed, I feel like, both with marriages and men's ministry, because mm-hmm. you don't really hear or see that many of those types of ministries in the body of Christ. So that's really awesome mm-hmm. that you guys are doing that. You're like pioneers.
We are.
We are pioneers because Michelle has a saying and it says, go first. And so
go first and go again.
That's it.
Amen. I love that. And also for the viewers who haven't seen this, the first Save a Life Tour, you guys were also the main speakers at that event. And what was so awesome is I was actually pulling up some videos from that event. And so I was kind of reminiscing on some of the things that you guys were talking about and some of the things that you were sharing, Tommy. So it was just so awesome to see how, you know, that was a little over a year ago and how far God will continue to take us and grow our ministries.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I really love that you guys talk about with relationships is I know that you will help couples who either are not married and they're looking to get married or people who are in relationships, they're married and they want things to get better. One of the things that you guys were mentioning is how you didn't want people to feel stuck in relationships. Did you want to elaborate a little bit more with our guests on what that meant to you and the message you want to share with their viewers?
Sure. So a lot of times in relationships, you know, circumstances happen, life happens, and sometimes not always the best things are said. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is then we start to develop a calloused, or what the Bible calls a hard heart. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the book of Hebrews has this like trail that takes you through the journey of what it looks like to get a hard heart. And the writer puts like, it's almost like he's a doctor diagnosing this illness. And he gives us this prescription to get out of that. And Michelle and I have seen over the years now coaching so many people that there's one thing that is consistent, and it's this thing of a hard heart. And so as I was reading through this, and actually got to preach this morning at our home church, was this prescription, which he says to one, he says, pay attention. And he's saying to make sure that we listen to the truths that we've heard. And then he says to consider Jesus. Remember that confession that we made to him, and that he says to keep our hearts soft. And in Hebrews 3:8, he says, you know, when he was in the wilderness, he fought that hardness of heart and just to fight against it. And then in Hebrews 3:12, it says to believe with all your heart. And what that means to me, or what it should mean to us, is just trust God. Trust God, whatever the circumstance, whatever you're going through, it's just your been through leading you to your breakthrough. But to believe him all the way through, because if you look at Psalm 23, he says that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear anything. He says, because your rod, your staff, it comforts me. That means we can believe and we can trust in that. But what's really cool is that on the other side of that, Jacqueline, is it says that I'm leading you to a buffet table. And in the presence of our enemies, we're going to party. And so just because you're having your been through, know that there's a breakthrough coming. Mm-hmm. And that we're going to throw a party in the face of our enemy, because we're going to break through this thing. And, you know, a lot of that does take being diligent, though. Hebrews 4:1 talks about being diligent. And in Hebrews 4:14, he says, hold on to that faith. And so as we're coaching couples and we're coaching individuals, we take them literally through a journey that's very similar to what I just mentioned out of Hebrews.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I love that.
Don't get me started, because I'll get to preach it on here, and then an hour later we'll still be here. So
I just want to throw something in there. In the talking about, before we even go to the word, when we are in that place of having a hard heart, or we don't even realize it's a hard heart, we're in that place of being stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about self. It's all about selfishness. It's about what I've experienced, what's been done to me, what I didn't sign up for, my rights. When we get stuck, we're literally looking at ourselves, and we've got to go to the word, and we've got to allow God to, and this is something we teach people, is we've got to allow God to be God in our lives. There's so many times that we feel like we're supposed to protect ourselves. We're supposed to defend ourselves. You're not treating me right. You're not speaking to me right. I'm gonna let you know, and I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And I'm like, no, no, hold on to that. You need all the pieces of your mind. Don't be giving them away to people. but it's all really about self. And we become very selfish. And then God doesn't have the ability to work and move and heal in our lives, because we're constantly looking at ourselves.
The part that stuck out to me was in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. He says, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. And he says, I'm going to take that stony, stubborn heart. And you know what I really find, what we find a lot of times, is that people are just being stubborn. Mm-hmm. They don't want to give in. They don't. Their pride gets the best of them, and they just they'd rather have a stubborn, stony heart. And here's the thing about having that hard heart, that stony heart, is not only do you not let people in, or nothing can get out, but nothing can get in either.
Right.
Love, truth, transformation, revelation, any of that stuff, it's blocked by that stubborn, stony heart that we created based upon
our selfishness.
Right. I love that scripture too. What's so special to me about that scripture is before I had rededicated my heart to the Lord, I had so much like unresolved pain and hurt and sorrow from broken relationships and not knowing my identity in Christ and not knowing the truth about what God says that we are in His Word. And so when I had made that decision, I'm like, that's it. I'm surrendering my whole life to God. Like, I'm giving up my plans. I'm giving up everything that I thought I wanted. I'm giving it all to Him. I felt, and this was before I even knew it was scripture, I literally felt spiritually that Jesus took out my heart that was full of sorrow and pain and brokenness and like sadness, and He put His heart in there. And I didn't know how to explain it to people. And I was like, wow, I feel like I have this new heart, and I just feel so much peace and comfort. And I knew it was Jesus and nothing else that I had tried, or no relationship that I was in prior to that, or anything I tried to do in myself could fix it. And then when I heard that scripture, I was like, wow, like I experienced that and I didn't even know it was God's word. And so it's so cool, you know, like our testimony walks out God's word. It's alive and it's active. And so I love that you brought that up, because another person I was interviewing, one of the other guest speakers, was talking about how she was struggling with addiction to food. Like, she would go to food for comfort. She had different eating disorders, and it stemmed from sexual abuse. And so she would try to heal and fix her heart, and she wasn't going to God, right? Who's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who created us. He knows how to heal us. And she was trying to do it in her own strength. And that, you know, she was mentioning that, like, everything else that she was going to, it was making her heart more hard. You know, more walls were being brought up.
Yeah.
You know, in Psalm 51, in the Passion Translation, it, in verse 16 and 17, it says this, it says, God's not looking for our performance. Mm-hmm. And He's not even looking for our sacrifices. What He is looking for, though, is our shattered hearts before Him. And then you go over to Psalm 137 in the same version, and it says that He, being God, will mend our broken hearts. And I really believe, like, we're, I think we're in a season as a world, as a country, just as a family of believers. Mm-hmm. I think I really believe we are in a season of God really saying, I just want your heart right now.
Right.
He's, I don't care about the performance. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care about how much you're going to sacrifice, whatever it is. I just want this thing, this heart that I've given you. I want to be the king of that heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's the season. I believe that's why it's been so on my heart to speak to the hearts of both men and women in these last few weeks.
Right. And it shows who's the Lord of their life, right? Because we could set up so many other things that would be Lord. Like, we can go to people and whatever they say, they can be our Lord. We could go to the news, to the media, and it's like all these different things. Like, if we have a drug or alcohol addiction, or, you know, we go to food for comfort, all those little false idols can be our Lord. And it's like really throwing all of them off their high horse and putting Jesus, He's Lord of my life, over all areas. And it takes that one step of obedience. It's just like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, it's just, it takes that one act of obedience, and Jesus will always meet us no matter where we are. Even if our obedience is in the pit and we're just like, reach out our hand, like, Jesus, help me, save me, He'll pull us out.
You know, Jacqueline, to speak to that, there's a distinction between what's going on today with people's hearts, and it's very obvious. And it's very obvious. I think what God has done in this past year is He's taken the wheat and the chaff and He's shaken it a little bit. And now the real people, the real believers who have a firm foundation, who've been obedient, who've stayed strong through this, I think those are the ones that are rising up. And as I look at Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14, it talks about, it says, you know, you've been saved a really long time. You should actually be teaching at this point. You should be, it said, the word of the Passion Translation says, you should be professors of the words that are coming out of my mouth, God says. He says, but you've been a baby. I still have to talk to you like, I still have to continue to talk to you like you're a little kid. He says, but see, this is the distinction. This is the difference. He says, but then there's those who are eating the meat of the word, that steak and potatoes type thing of the word. There's a distinction. And I think the distinction was set before us this last year when when the shaking came.
Right.
You were either shook or you understood it, one of the two. Because my Bible says that I will not be shaken. I sing it as a worship song, I won't be shaken. It's more than just that. It's a reality and truth. It's a reality and truth and can be for everybody else as well.
Right. No, I get so passionate about this where I almost have to like calm down because I'm like, oh my gosh, I know I'm going to say something to offend someone. But you know what you were saying too, is like, that's the thing. If we are so quick to be offended, we're going to miss out on what God is trying to show us. And that's another thing too. It's like you were saying, people's pride and people's stubbornness. And one thing you guys had mentioned too was how you felt like certain things that were going on in the past year with COVID-19 and the pandemic and then the isolation, it was causing people's hearts to stay in that offense. And I didn't know if you wanted to elaborate more on how you felt like those specific conditions were causing people to stay stuck and in their relationships.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'll throw in a couple thoughts there and then Tommy can wrap that up. I think this year has really paralyzed a lot of people. They've allowed, let me rephrase that. The circumstances that have happened and the unrest and the just the weirdness of last year has really caused people to be paralyzed.
Right.
And paralyzed with fear and uncertainty. And really everything that I saw that was happening seemed to me to be the greatest distraction that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
A distraction to absolutely get your eyes out of the word, to get your eyes off of, you know, the throne room of God and all of the power and everything that flows from that. And to just be really, really sidetracked with the things going on, whether it's going on at the grocery store and what's happening with the toilet paper, it's going on in the government world and what's happening with this person and this person said this and every time we turned on the TV, which was not very often, especially in the first three quarters of last year, I felt like what a distraction this is. And people, Christians, really allowed themselves to be drug around kind of like with a ball and chain, just not even taking into consideration who God is anymore.
Right.
Where our help comes from, where our provision comes from. It's not about who's president. It's not about this virus. It's not about any of those things. Mm-hmm. It's about, we know who we are and we know who we belong to and that's it. And it really seemed that faith and that belief, that understanding really seemed to get watered down last year. And just watching people's responses and having conversation and seeing all of the chaos and the even anger, all of the anger coming out in people. And I think it just really stems from people attaching to fear. And so we've seen a lot of different people in different situations and churches and ministries and whatever get stuck.
Right.
Really get stuck.
I think you hit the nail on the head, was that there was a lack of consideration for God. You know, we've considered elephants. We've considered donkeys. We've considered other men.
Who's
got the big wavy blonde hair? Who doesn't? Red, blue, whatever it is. We've had all these considerations. Even pastors considering like their political platforms and their self-help stories and their cool worship shows and all that stuff. And really, what we found that sustained us is have considering. Wait a minute. Jesus is still on the throne. He's still the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's still my Prince of Peace. He's still the way, truth, and the life. He's still the author and finisher of my faith.
He's still our provider.
Yeah.
Finances, food, anything that we need, health. God is our ultimate provider. Yeah, we're going to wear masks into places that require them, but the mask is not what's protecting us health-wise. Like God, we get our health. The promise of health comes from Jesus, from the finished work of Christ.
And so when you consider everything but him, everything around you, including relationships, go sideways.
Yeah.
If you know, I mean, he's the glue, the super glue that sustained us in 2020. And I can tell you, one, our ministry grew by about 300%. Yeah. Our finances grew by at least 25%. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything, our relationships grew 100% or more just in all the new people we got to meet and our new pastors. And I mean, just growth.
Yeah.
Because we stayed in consideration of Jesus. And so when the shaking was happened, we weren't shaken.
Right. Absolutely. You know that scripture too that says they believe in God, but they have a form of godliness,
but they deny the power thereof.
They're clouds without rain. And that was the thing that would fire me up. And it's just because I have witnessed in my life too many miracles. Like God has come through for me in too many ways that no one could ever talk me out of his greatness. No one can ever talk me out of his power. So even though, you know, and when you look at Psalm 91, how it says that destruction can be happening all around you. But when you abide, that's the thing. It's like people can't look at God as like, oh, well, he's my insurance. In case something goes wrong, then I'm going to go to the Bible. It's like, no, your whole life is like a marathon. You're training, you're building up your spiritual muscles in God's word. Because when something does happen, because it will, because Jesus promised us that we're going to face trials and tribulations in earth. When you're training for the trial, these speed bumps that come up are not going to be as earth shattering when you abide in the secret place, which is abiding in the heart of God, having a personal relationship and not looking at God's word as just like this to-do list. It's spiritual food and it nourishes you more than any.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last thing I was saying is before we wrap this up, did you have any last words for our viewers?
Yeah, I would ask you to consider where's your heart at today?
Do a heart check.
You know, in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, it says, in verse 14, it says, but solid food is for the mature whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters. When you were talking, Jacqueline, about it's hard to explain, it's not that it's hard for you to communicate it. It's most of the time it's hard for people to receive it because they're not where they haven't had that experience, or they haven't had that what it says in Hebrews 5, the revelation of righteousness. And so it says that and these things have been adequately trained, that they've experienced, emerged with understanding of the difference, what is truly good, and let's just say what is harmful or bad. And so you have to ask, where's my heart? Do I have a good soft heart, or has my heart been hardened by life? Have I allowed life to harden my heart? And if it is, and you got that hard heart, I would ask you to go to God and say, just like Ezekiel 36, 26, God, I want to give you this hard heart. And like Jacqueline, what you did for Jacqueline, replace it, remove it and replace it, because I'm being stubborn and I know it's stony and I don't want that anymore. And soft, and give me that soft heart, that give me your heart, God. And that's what I would leave you with. Figure out where you're at. Diagnose where you're at. The prescription is going to be for you to then hold fast, stay in the word, get in the word if you're not there, do the right things.
Get unstuck,
but get with God and let him know where you're really at.
Yeah.
And he will, if he'll do it for Jacqueline and he'll do it for us, certainly he would do it for you.
Yes.
Amen. And just to add one thing to that is one of my favorite chapters in the gospel, I think it's Luke 17, but it talks about the parable of the sower. Is that, I would just think you could Google it if I'm wrong, but I know it's in Luke and I'm pretty sure it's Luke 17, but it talks about the parable of the sower. And what it does is Jesus, when he is ministering to his disciples, he is talking about the four different conditions of our heart and what can cause the the bad conditions in our heart. So one of the good conditions is when we have the right soil to receive God's word. But the other three conditions, he talks about what happens. And it'd be really great if in prayer, after reading that, you can get with the Holy Spirit and ask him, you know, which one of these soils is my heart? So you can narrow down that root specifically to get it out. You know, sometimes people don't know why their heart's hard. It could be a potluck of things, you know. So it's always good to do that.
That's a good word. I like that, potluck. can I just leave with one more thing, Jacqueline?
Yeah.
Okay, March 19th at Living Word in Ahwatukee, Michelle and I are going to personally be there. We're going to show up. We're going to come into town and be there in person. And we would love, in fact, it would be our distinct honor to pray with you, to lay hands on you.
Yeah.
To believe God with you, to take you to higher ground in him. It would be our honor to do that with you.
Yes, I am looking at I'm so excited, and I'll probably share some of this at the event, but God has given me specific words and even spoke to me through other people and prophetic insight about this event. And I really feel like this is going to be a revival in the community of Ahwatukee. And what's so great is that this time, if you don't live in the surrounding area, or you don't live in Arizona, or you can't make it out and you're in another state, but you'd really love to hear this, we are going to do a Facebook Live event, which is nice because that means even more people all over the world can tune in. And that would be really special. But if you are in that area, it would be so great if you can come. And before I end each episode, I love to do a salvation prayer. So if anything that we were talking about really started tugging on your heart and you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, or you feel like maybe you have walked away for a period of time, and just like Tommy and Michelle said, you felt like you got distracted, you feel like your heart has gotten hard and you haven't been communing with God and you want to rededicate your heart and your life, we wanted to provide you the opportunity by giving a salvation prayer. And I would be so honored if Tommy and Michelle, if you would like to say that prayer with our guests.
Yeah, I would love, it's kind of like I'd invite you to my house. I wouldn't invite you without giving you the address. So it's the same thing. I want to invite you to heaven, and I want to get you the address to get there. And so it's simply just repeating after me. There's nothing spiritual or magical or, you know, weird about it. It's just, again, I just want to just lay the foundation for you, and you can put it in your own words. But it sounds a little something like this. Father God, I just thank you that you have provided your son Jesus to die in place of my sins. And so I receive that payment today. And Jesus, I just thank you that you've done that. And I thank you that you provided a way for me to get to the Father. And that's through you, through what your finished work on the cross. I receive that today. And I ask you to come into my life now and be my Lord and my Savior. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead me and teach me and guide me everything I need to know about what it looks like to be a Christ follower, a Christian. And if you've prayed that prayer, if you have recited that prayer in your heart with that open heart, God says then, today you are his son. Today you are his daughter, and today you've been born again into the family of God. What an amazing day. And I look forward to, Michelle and I look forward to seeing you on March 19th in Ahwatukee so we can celebrate this monumental moment in your life.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for saying that prayer. I love you both so much. You've been such a blessing to my life, and I'm just, words can't even express how much I am thankful that you could be a part of Another Stable Life Tour. Thank you so much.
Well, that's an honor.
So excited.
Thanks, Jacqueline. We love you.
Thank you. Be blessed. Love you.